Genesis chapter 5, I have gotten a lot of interest in this word, onomatology. What does it mean? It comes from a Greek word, onoma, which means name. And onomatology is the study of names. Simple as that. That's it. Study of names. Names are pretty fascinating. In fact, we have some fascinating names in this chapter. And it might seem like just a genealogy, but there is much more here for us tonight. Now, Jesus told us that things concerning himself could be found throughout the Old Testament. He said in Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." There are numerous references to tell us that, in the Bible even, that Moses is the one who wrote the first five books of the Bible. So when he says, in Moses and all the prophets, he's referring to the very place that we're looking at tonight, included in the things that God used Moses to write down. Now, we're aware, hopefully you're aware, that in the Old Testament, people were given names for a very specific purpose. For example, Seth, Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, just a couple of verses before chapter 5, it says, "Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth, because God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." And as we will note, the meaning of the name Seth is in direct relationship to the reason he was given that name. And this practice was throughout the Old Testament. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 21 through 22, we have a record of the birth of a boy named Ichabod. Remember that name? The Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant, and the high priest Eli died at the shock of it. His daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, it tells us. She delivered that child, and in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 21, it says, "And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." And Ichabod means no glory. So she named the child specifically because of the events of the day. What we're going to find in Genesis chapter 5, the first 10 generations of Adam's line, that the names of these men describe the gospel. We begin with Adam. And Adam means man. Adam was not only the name of the first person, but also the name of all mankind. Would you look, please, in Genesis chapter 5? Is that where? This is the chapter 5, verse 1. "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him." If you would look up the Strong's number for Adam and the Strong's number for man, you'd find exactly the same Strong's number. Verse 2, "Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam." You know, there's a lot of controversy today about how you refer to this person and that person. They're even changing the spelling of the word women. you know, W-O-M-Y-N, because they don't want to be associated with men. It used to be that you could use the term man to refer to all mankind. You didn't have to use the word mankind. You could use the word man. And people, in the context of what is written or spoken, you could tell you're talking about all mankind. And that's entirely appropriate because God named mankind Adam, which means man. Adam lived 130 years before Seth was born. Verse 3 in chapter 5. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Do you notice? Well, first of all, Adam and Eve had plenty of children before 130 years had come by. Cain and Abel were two of note. But here it is noted that Adam's son Seth was begotten in his own likeness after his image. We mentioned this before when we were in the early stages of Genesis study. But remember, this is the same language used by God to describe the manner in which he created man. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." The effect of this, to say that Adam had a son in his own likeness and after his image, is to set man apart from animals. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, the animals brought forth after their kind, which is a word that refers to species. But mankind is not a species of animal. Mankind is a personal creature made in the likeness and image of God. And so when we have children, they are born in the image and likeness of their parents. It tells us that Adam's life consisted of 930 years. When we get to the We did talk about the canopy, remember, early on, and when we get to the flood, we'll talk some more about how and why the climate of the earth changed. Talk about climate change. There was a big climate change at one point in the past. Prior to the flood, with that canopy of vapor over the earth, protecting the people on the earth from the radioactive rays of the sun, they could live a long time. And Adam lived 130 years, begat his son Seth, lived another 800 years, and the grand total being 930 years. And so we would say that Adam died in the year 930. I was thinking, you know, we have BC and AD. What will we call the years before the flood? And we could say BF, before the flood, but I didn't like that. From creation, how about FC 930, from creation, in the year 930 he died. Seth, in verse 6, Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Seth means compensation through substitution. Seth was the substitute for Abel. It is very possible that Abel was the first person to die. And it is understood that Seth was the first child born to Adam and Eve following Abel's death. One man given to take the place of another. Jesus Christ is referred to as the second man. Would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And one of the doctrines regarding the Lord Jesus Christ that we learn from Scripture is that he is our substitute. So given that the word Adam or man refers to all of mankind, as we looked at in verses 1 and 2, Jesus Christ then became the compensation as our substitute for all mankind. There's an interesting word study you can do, two words combined, and that is for us. F-O-R-U-S, for us. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I threw you a curve there. But back on track here. Well, the word for is in this verse. Maybe you'll get the second word there. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. For us. He's our substitute. Seth was born in the year 130. That's because Adam lived 130 years before Seth was born. He lived his entire life was 912 years, which means that he died in the year 1042. Now, as we progress through this, you'll see why I'm giving you all these years and dates. So he lived 105 years. Before his son Enos was born, he lived 807 years after that for a total of 912 years and died in the year 1042. Enos, verse 9, chapter 5, verse 9, Enos lived 90 years, begat Canaan. Enos means delicate and frail, and thus vulnerable and mortal. What is the significance of this name meaning? Man is weak because of sin. Sin causes us to be frail. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And because of sin, we are mortal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are mortal. We are weak and frail, and we are mortal. And that's what Enos contributes to the progression of thought. Enos was born in the year 235. He lived a total of 905 years. And died in the year 1140. Canaan means begotten. the one possessed. Jesus Christ is possessed by the Father. John chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. John chapter 10 and verse 38, Jesus said, "But if I do, though you believe not in me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in the Father." And then he says in John chapter 10 and verse 30, "I and my Father are one." And we know about the begotten part. Who can quote a verse that has the word begotten in it with regard to Jesus Christ? Anybody? Want to volunteer? Say it all together. Okay, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." And so the name Canaan tells us about the begotten one. Canaan was born in the year 325, lived 910 years, and died in the year 1235. Mahalalel means the praise of God. The significance of this is to tell us that the begotten one is the praise and glory of God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high." You remember when in John chapter 14, Jesus was saying, "I go to prepare a place for you." In that same context, in John chapter 14, verse 8, Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Do you remember what Jesus said in response to that? "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" In fact, in John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." And what glory was that? "The glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Glory. John chapter 17, Jesus tells us that he shared the glory of God the Father in eternity past. I didn't have that one written down. I'll turn there and refer you to it. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 1, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." He is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the praise and glory of God the Father. And so, Mahalaleel was born in the year 395. He lived a total of 895 years and died in the year 1290. Now, these boxes are intended to show the lifespan of each of these men corresponding to the other men. What do you notice? So far, Adam's still alive. Isn't that something? And we're down in the fifth generation already. Jared means the one who descends. There he comes. The one who descends. And in fact, Jesus Christ did come down from heaven. He said it several times, John chapter 3, verse 13, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." John chapter 6, verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says, "Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens." He's the one that came down from heaven, the one who descended. Jared was born in the year 460. What year did Adam die? 930. So we're only up to 460 as far as births are concerned. Here's Jared, born in the year 460, lived a total of 962 years, and he died in the year 1422. Enoch means dedicated. Christ is the one whom God dedicated to the work of redemption. John chapter 8 and verse 42 says, "For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me." In John chapter 12 and verse 49, Jesus says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." God the Father gave a commitment, a commission. He dedicated the Son to a particular work. And Jesus himself was very much dedicated to the work that God the Father gave him. He said in John chapter 4 and verse 34, and I'm reading all of these verses because it would take a lot longer if we would refer to all of them. Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And then remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Just before he was going to be arrested and then crucified. And he prayed this, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." He was totally dedicated to the work God the Father had given him. But there's something else we learn about Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." And verse 24 says, "And Enoch walked with God." The significance is not in the word walked necessarily, but in the word with. He walked with God. There was a relationship, a very intense and personal relationship, with, near, together with, implying this relationship. And the word God is Elohim. He's walking with the Godhead, the fullness of God. And then suddenly in verse 24, Enoch was not. He simply was not on the earth. He didn't die. God took him. Could it be that Enoch was intended to be a picture of the ascension of Christ? I just thought about that when I was doing this study. I hadn't really thought about that before. I'll just put that out there. Now, letter D, I should have worded it differently. It should read like this: Enoch was born in the year 622 and walked with God for 365 years. You see, Enoch walked with God while he was on the earth. And he was not in the year 987. He lived a total of 365 years walking with God. And in the year 987, he was not. You know, that was only 57 years after Adam died. Adam's still very much alive when Enoch is born. Can you imagine the conversations that these men had through all those generations? Then we come to Methuselah. Who knows about Methuselah? What's unique about him? Longest life. Oh, yes. And Methuselah means in the time of his death. We'll see in a moment what the significance of that is. Methuselah's long life, and I hope you can see this animation. I chose this because he never gives the hourglass time to completely run out. Methuselah's long life, I believe, to be a picture of God's long suffering. Why hasn't God raptured us out of here and brought judgment on the world yet, according to 2 Peter chapter 3? Because God is long suffering, not willing that any should perish. There's something very significant about that in Methuselah's life. Now, Christ would come in the fullness of time and die precisely at the time that God determined. But what we learn about Methuselah is that he was born in the year 687. He lived a total of 969 years, and he died in the year of the flood, in the time of his death. His son was named Lamech, which means overthrow. To overthrow. The seed of the woman would overthrow the seed of the devil. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. We know that one from our study already. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. And Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He overthrew them. Lamech didn't quite make it to the year of the flood. He died before his father, 5 years before. He was born in the year 874. Adam was still alive when Lamech was born. I didn't have room to have Adam's name on there, but remember, he died in the year 930, and if Lamech's born in the year 874, Adam is still alive. He lived a total of 777 years and died 5 years before the flood. His son is named Noah, and his name means rest. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Noah didn't get to meet Adam on earth. Noah was born in the year 1056. And he was 600 years old when the flood began in the year 1656. So here are the first 10 generations. Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. And here is the gospel in their names. There is a man, and there is a substitute for a man. Man, the first man, is frail and mortal and needs a substitute. There is one who is begotten of God, who is the praise and glory of God, who descended to earth, who was dedicated to his mission, and in his death, he overthrew the enemies of sin and death, and therefore we have rest. The gospel of salvation has always been the same. The only difference being that in the Old Testament, they had to look forward to what had been promised. And in the New Testament, we look back to what has been accomplished. But God had creative ways of letting people, even though the Word of God had not been written down in the Old Testament, early, early days of mankind before the flood, he had creative ways of letting man know what he had promised. I don't know how much they could see in the process of time and the meaning of the names, or if the meaning of the names were given because of God's direction, but at least for us, through onomatology, the study of names, we can see the gospel in the first 10 generations of mankind. Trust that you believe that you have received Christ as your Savior. And you're ready when the trumpet sounds and he calls us to heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this information. It affirms for us the truth of the gospel in a different way. Lord, if there's anyone here who is unsure about their relationship with you, may the truth of the gospel touch their hearts tonight. May they hear and believe and come to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in his name. Amen.